Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. I do truly appreciate everybody who listens and hope that you enjoy the show enough to want to tell others to listen in as well. I'm grateful for whatever you can do to help spread the word about this ministry. Remember, you do not have to be Catholic and you do not have to be into sports to be impacted by what I bring you each week on this show. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I am about to start a weekly email newsletter, so sign up for that on catholicsportsradio.net, and every Monday I will send out about the newest episode. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We all know that while it's a privilege for someone who competes in sports to go on to become a professional athlete, with that comes the responsibility of upholding themselves to what parents would want their children to see in terms of being a good role model. There are expectations about behavior not only from fans and the community, but from the organization as well. You have seen on CatholicSportsRadio.net and or you have heard me say on this show before that I am an oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida. As part of that, we studied the rule of St. Benedict, which, among other purposes, sets down a certain code of conduct for the monks and thus for us as oblates as well. In the rule of St. Benedict 4, it says, "Your way of acting should be different from the world's way. The love of Christ must come before all else." Friends, as Catholic Christians, we have that same calling. We are held to that standard to show others that we are following and living like Jesus so that those who we encounter in sports, in the workplace, or even in the supermarket will see Jesus in us. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Vocations Director for the Catholic Diocese of Peoria in Illinois. Next week will mark 8 years since he was ordained to the priesthood. Prior to that, he was a pro soccer player, having been with both the Colorado Rapids and then the New England Revolution of Major League Soccer. That followed 4 years of having played soccer in South America for teams in Chile. In two of his 4 years there, he was selected the league's most valuable player at the fullback position. As a student athlete, he had made the United States under-17 national team and was a high school All-American before going to Clemson University. In college, he was a four-year starter and helped the Tigers to an ACC championship and 4 NCAA tournament berths, including 2 Elite Eight appearances. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Chase Hilgenbrink.
Hey, Bruce, great to be with you. Thanks so much for the introduction.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I introduced you as being part of the Diocese of Peoria, yet as we heard, you went to college in South Carolina, eventually were in locations like South America and then Colorado and New England, but it has all come full circle for you because you were actually born and raised in Illinois, correct?
I was. I'm my parents originally from Western Illinois, which is where I was born, kind of in a farm family. And later we moved to Bloomington, Illinois, which is right in the heart of Central Illinois and in the Peoria Diocese. I grew up with my parents who were good Catholics, faithful, and my one brother, Blaze, who's a year older than me. And we were altar servers at our parish growing up. Certainly sports was at the center of our household, as my parents were athletes, and my brother and I both played college soccer as well. So certainly faith and sports were at the intersection of our lives, just as you said at the top of your show.
Nice, nice. Well, you mentioned in there about being an altar server, but that's one thing. And a young boy or girl might attend Catholic school, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're really interested in religion. Were you pretty fascinated with the Catholic faith as a young boy, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Certainly, it was just something that it was part of my family identity. It wasn't something that was a passion of mine, or that I had a personal relationship with Jesus, which I do now, and I know the difference, you know. And so, just growing up, I did what I was supposed to do. My parents were big into teaching us, you know, virtue and what we were supposed to be about, and that comes from, you know, some of our Midwest values, but certainly from Catholic teaching that they were passionate about. I didn't share that passion. It was really only when I left my home and was really wondering who I was and what I was about and what life looks like if I'm supposed to start to define who Chase Hilgenbrink is. And it was only then that I started asking deep questions about my faith and chose to be a Catholic on my own.
Wow. Well, when and how did you get into playing sports, and was it just soccer, or did you play anything else?
Just like every other American kid, I tried everything, you know. As a young kid, you know, my parents kind of saw that we were athletic kids, so we did a little bit of everything just to kind of feel out where we might be good, and so I played baseball, basketball, soccer.
Wow.
We never really played football because my dad had played football and he didn't want us to be involved. So you get to the high school level, and that's where you know the competition really gets fierce, you know, for the most part, and you start to recognize who's really got the knack for this and who can actually maybe play at the next level. And I played both high school soccer and basketball, but certainly at 5'9" and not being able to dunk, I knew that my future was not in Division I basketball. But certainly the skills were there to play Division I soccer. So knew that there were scholarship opportunities, and really the first goal was to be able to pay for college. And so my brother and I certainly were on that track and had the ability to go on to play Division I college soccer.
Well, if my calculations are correct, Major League Soccer was a couple years old when you were in high school. Being that I mentioned in the intro that you were a high school All-American, is it safe to assume that at that point in your life, you were starting to have dreams about becoming a professional soccer player, or maybe not yet?
Certainly, the dream of being a professional athlete, period, was in my head. And it only became reality when I was, as you said at the top of the show, I was selected to the under-17 national team, became an All-American. And all of a sudden, I thought, wait a second, this means that I'm one of the best players in America? Like, that means that, like, if we were to select today, you know, who might be playing professional soccer in a few years, I would be amongst them. And that's when it really hit for me. And I thought, wow, because I'm a realist. I don't like fantasy. I'm not into a lot of romantic notions of people's dreams and things that aren't attainable. I want to be real about my life, and I've always been that way. I'm real about my faith in the same way. I think a lot of people think, you know, this faith is fantasy stuff. You know, it's stuff that, you know, pious people make up and they want to believe to make themselves feel good. Well, I had to ask all those questions too about sports and about faith, and to say, I want to be logical. I want to be real. If God is true, then he created truth, and we ought to follow this. And so I knew that at that time that I had the ability, at least, you know, in my age group to strive to play Division I soccer and have the hopes of playing professional soccer. But I knew that would entail me, you know, winning at the highest level of college soccer. I had to prove myself at all times. Later, that would come in handy because I know that I would also have to prove myself in my faith and really dig deep to know what was true, and also to be able to carry the cross, you know, and to live this faith, which today is getting harder and harder to be a Catholic and to be bold in living out what we truly believe.
So tell us about going off to Clemson University. I think you said that was on an athletic scholarship. What was campus life like in terms of your behavior, your lifestyle, and also that far away from home, away from mom and dad, what was your faith life looking like at that age?
I remember arriving at Clemson University my first week on campus wondering, in this question like coming to my mind, just wondering, do I go to Mass this Sunday? I mean, I've been talking my whole life, like complaining to my parents almost every weekend, because my parents were ones that when we played travel soccer, my parents said, okay, if we're going to do this, there's two things that are going to happen in our family. One, our family's always going to be together. That means, Chase, you're going to have to make Blazers teams. Good luck, right? And second, we're always going to go to Mass. We'll never miss Mass, right? No matter what we do. And Blaze and I had to agree to that.
Wow.
And we did, and we thought it wouldn't be possible. We're talking about pre-internet, right? We're talking about my dad getting to every hotel and asking for the Yellow Pages, you know? And I thought it wasn't possible. It was possible. And we did. And we were sometimes late for games. We sometimes missed meals with other families on Saturday nights, you know, and all the traveling soccer teams, you know, go out to all the restaurants and all that, and you have time with your friends. We missed a lot of those things because we were at Mass.
Wow.
You know, and so that set something in my head. So when I got to college, I said, and I complained about that. I was embarrassed often of my parents and of our faith, because I said, this is crazy and it's not popular. Nobody else is doing this. I had all the excuses that every kid today has. and so I get to college and I thought, I've been complaining about this my whole life. Again, being logical and being honest, I said, what am I doing? Am I going to Mass or not? And I felt unauthentic by going to Mass, because I said, I've been complaining about this, you know?
Yeah.
But in a moment of grace, Bruce, like the Lord showed me, like the next question in my mind, like a lightning bolt in my mind says, if I don't go to Mass this Sunday, am I a Catholic anymore?
Mm.
If I stop praying and if I stop going to Mass, do I dare call myself a Christian? Because is that hypocritical? You know, like where do I stand? And in college, especially where everybody's trying to figure out their identity and become who they are and try to show, I realized I didn't know what a Hildenbrink was. And that's my last name. I didn't know what a Hildenbrink was if they weren't a Christian and if they weren't a Catholic.
Mm.
And so you can bet I went to Mass that Sunday on my own for the very first time. And it started to change me. And in my freshman year of college, I made my first first lifetime commitment. And I tell people today, it's the most important commitment I've ever made in my life, and it's more than being a priest. And that freshman year of college at Clemson, I made the decision to be a practicing Catholic for the rest of my life.
Wow!
And that set my life on a new course. And certainly, when we make these important decisions about our life, the Lord, we always say grace builds on nature. You know, when we make decisions for the Lord, now grace has an opportunity to flow in, and a divine help would set a new trajectory for my life.
Mm. So powerful. And this isn't probably even the most powerful story that Father Chase is going to tell, I'm sure. Given that he walked away from being a pro soccer player to go to the seminary to become a Catholic priest, I certainly have plenty more to dig into with Father Chase. But I also want to cite a recent guest on this show, Tom McConnell, the head women's basketball coach at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, who was on 2 weeks ago in episode 170. He was kind enough to mail me a check as a contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. I did contact him personally, but wanted to give this public thanks to him for that. In fact, just yesterday, another expense came in, which was $32.16 for a one-year renewal from GoDaddy of the CatholicSportsRadio.net domain name, as well as 12 more months of privacy and protection for the domain. That's just the latest example of the many expenses that I face in running Catholic Sports Radio, which, if you've been listening long enough, you realize is not just what you hear, meaning it's not just one 30-minute interview per week. There's so much more that goes on behind the scenes, off the air, and all keeping in mind that it's just me doing this with no staff or even volunteers or interns helping me. Plus, I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which makes all those costs that much tougher to face, since I otherwise have to find a way to try to cover them out of my own pocket. Understand, though, that this is a calling for me. What I'm giving you here is not a complaint, just some points of reference as you prayerfully consider a financial contribution to this ministry. If you find value in what I do, if you enjoy listening to Catholic Sports Radio each week, if it's helping your faith life, if you want to help me continue all the work that I'm doing at the intersection of faith and sports, I'd be most grateful. And here's how you can do so. On the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that guests and listeners alike have used to send me securely online whatever amount feels most comfortable. There's no drop-down menu of preset amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. Alternatively, as some folks like Tom McConnell have done, you can instead get in touch with me by sending an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with the details on sending a check through the mail. Of course, as you're hearing me do on this very episode, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. This is something I ask for each week on the show because there is a need, meaning it's not just a formality, and I am sincere in my appeal. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do as part of your tithing as it relates to supporting my ministry through a financial contribution. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people in their faith life through this ministry. Father Chase, typically you hear of a student graduating from college and going into an entry-level job in whatever career their degree was in. You, however, headed to South America to play soccer. How in the world does that go down?
God's providence is how it goes down. You know, I got to play on some top 10 teams at Clemson University, and that meant that I had a lot of teammates who were really good players and who were being seen by top clubs, not just in the United States, but from around the world. And some of them went off to play in Europe, and some of them stayed right here and played in Major League Soccer. It just so happened by God's providence that I had met a man who named Claudio Arias, who was a coach from Chile, but he was coaching college soccer here in the United States. And he saw my game. We worked together a few camps during the summer. And he said, you know what, I think, you know, you have a skill set and the ability and the style of play to play in my home country in Chile. And so he acted kind of as a quasi-agent for me and basically just opened the door. There was no pre-signed contract. I bought a one-way ticket and told my parents I wasn't coming home. Mm. You know, this was going to happen. And I knew I had the ability. I always had a conviction that, you know, that if somebody opened the door to me, I would be able to show. And that's exactly what happened. I had a contact. I had an open door. I had an opportunity. And by God's grace, when I got to Chile, I showed and they thought that that they would take a shot on me, and that's all it was. There wasn't a whole lot of promise, just an opportunity of a player who had a different skill set than most South American players. Mm. And so I played as a good American, commanding a defense, you know, and putting the pieces together, playing a very tactical game, which is something that their game often lacks, and I found my spot. And it ended up leading to new contracts and new teams and new opportunities, even the ability to win a championship in second division, to reach the promotion back to first division for that team in that city, and just amazing experiences.
It sounds to me like you stepped out in confidence, but also in faith.
There's no doubt about that, and that's maybe not by my choice. I would have rather, you know, just like everybody else, had an easy route, a contract that was ready to be signed with a lot of money, and knowing exactly where I was going. But certainly, I had my mind on a goal, and I realized not at that time. I realized that the Lord was going to bless me. I had so much confidence in Jesus Christ and in His promises. I always read Philippians 4:13 before I played. I wrote Phil 4:13 on my shin guard. That's the last thing I put on before I stepped onto the field. I felt like I had power when I lived in relationship with Jesus, and so because He always came through, it doesn't mean that I was always the best player. It doesn't mean I always played my best. It just means that, you know, He always came through, and there was always another door to be opened, and I believe that about anyone who walks in faith with Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that we won't carry a cross. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means that there'll be open doors. He'll always show us a new door to walk through, and I believe that. And certainly, like I said, I would have liked things for it to be easier for me. But looking back in hindsight, everything that worked out according to God's purposes, and it made me a stronger man. It gave me an experience of life that I never dreamed about, and certainly prepared me to be a priest, which is not an easy ministry. It's not always a comfortable ministry, but it's the most rewarding and certainly a ministry that's leading people to Jesus Christ and His heart and pray God to heaven.
Amen. And audience, how many times on this show do we hear guests say, I look back and see now what the Lord was doing along whatever journey they just described. So it doesn't have to be a journey to the priesthood. It doesn't have to be a journey to professional sports. But we all, if we look for it, we can see God's hand in so many things that seem frustrating, that seem routine, that seem all of the above. And sometimes hindsight is 20/20, but I think our challenge is to look for him every day and not miss out on these opportunities to see him working alongside of us. I've got more I want to make sure that we cover, Father Chase. So let's fast forward to your story. As I mentioned back in the intro, you play 4 years in Chile, you come back to the States, have great success in Major League Soccer, and then boom, after everything that you've been talking about, no more soccer.
Right.
So tell us about your call to the priesthood.
Well, you're right about that. You know, a lot of people know that story, which you just told, but that's not the full story. The full story is that God's providence and God's grace and God speaking to me was interlaced throughout my entire time of playing soccer. And it was me trying to figure out how to navigate God's will for my life as I was living out my will. You know, and so I'll tell you that almost immediately upon arriving to Chile, I found myself in a difficult place. My entire life I'd been on teams and I'd been pretty good on my teams and I'd been popular and I had friends on teams and I was close to my family. For all intents and purposes, things went really well for me throughout my life. I thought I was going to Chile to live a dream, and I'd go to great parties and be around beautiful women and be around great people and live in a nice house and everybody would love me.
Mm-hmm.
My first couple of months in Chile, I realized that people really had no idea who I was.
Mm.
My teammates didn't even care that I was there. Probably preferred that a North American was not playing there because we shouldn't have been good at soccer.
Wow.
I was taking somebody else's position.
Mm.
I didn't speak the language. I couldn't engage in friendship. There was so much, and I didn't have my family around me, my support system, and all of a sudden I felt very alone. You know, I thought, what is this? Life lesson, you know, you can only fall back on the things that you know. That's why we build ourselves in virtue, and that's why my parents took me to Mass, and that's why I made a decision to live out my faith in college, and all of a sudden now I find myself in a place where I really need to know what I know and who I am. And at that moment, the only two things in the entire world that I knew and that were very, very familiar to me were the two universals in my life, the universal game of soccer, which doesn't change rules no matter where you go in the entire world, and the Catholic Church. You know, and so I started finding myself after practice walking into Catholic churches and seeing that gold box in the middle of the sanctuary as if it's the most important thing in the world, and seeing that red candle of presence burning brightly next to it. And all of a sudden, I didn't know any theology at that time, but when I walked into a Catholic church, my heart was at peace and I was at home. And so I sat there. I didn't know Ignatius's rules of discernment, but I sat there because I felt what he calls consolation, and I just stayed there. And it was in times that, like those, that I didn't even know how to pray, but I started pouring my heart out to the Lord. Lord, I'm not comfortable. I don't know what's going on in my life right now. I'm playing professional soccer. This is my dream, but it doesn't feel so good. This is not what I dreamed about. And it was at that moment, in the middle of a chapel, in the middle of the day in Chile, while rain is beating on the top of this tin roof, while I have my coat on because there's no heat in the chapel, my soccer bag next to me, and I, in the silence of the depths of my heart, hear this voice that booms inside of my soul and just says so gently, "Be my priest."
Wow.
And that at that moment, I actually thought that I was going crazy. I thought that I thought I was making things up. I thought that someone else was speaking to me. I didn't know what was going on.
Mm.
But I can tell you, I wasn't virtuous enough. And I tell other young boys that I was still a boy. I wasn't a man yet. Because my definition of manhood is one who has the freedom to respond to the voice of God. And at that moment, I told Jesus no.
What age were you at that point?
I was 22 years old, just out of college.
Okay.
And at that moment, I said no, I can't do this. That's not even a definition of manhood, you know. And manhood is one who has beautiful women, who makes a lot of money, who is popular, who is well looked up to by others, who goes to great parties, who is influential in other people's lives. And at that time I realized, man, that doesn't seem like the priesthood, you know, not popular, not a lot of money, not going to great parties, not any of these things that I associated like the cultural definition of manhood to, which I was able to live, you know. All that being said, for 3 years, thanks be to God, life turned to the way that I wanted it, which was comfort. And years later, I would hear Benedict XVI say, "You are not called to comfort; you're called to greatness." And I had a great girlfriend. I was going to great parties. I was signing new contracts. I had a lot of friends. I was speaking fluently Spanish. All the things that I wanted, I had. And after we won a championship one night, I remember saying to the Lord, "This is it. Like, thank you. Like, you heard my prayers. Like, this is it." And again, in the next moment of grace, like a lightning bolt into my head and into my heart, I realized that my heart was not fulfilled. And I started to say, "Wait a second, I'm 25 years old now, and this is it?
Mm.
Like, this is all? This is all I ever wanted? This is all I ever dreamed about? Like, how tiny are my dreams?
Wow.
How small are my ideas for life?" And I realized then, if the Lord is the one who created me, and he created me for a purpose, and I have the opportunity to know his voice and know what he created me to do, and I don't do it, how will my heart ever be fulfilled? How will I ever be a man walking on this earth who is authentic, who is truthful, who can look others in the eyes and say that I love my life and I'm a true man? I realized at that moment that I would never be a man if I didn't respond to the voice of God.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, and sadly, you know, what I'm hearing there is you had a picture of what society told you a successful man looked like, and it took a lot of listening and a lot of sacrifice to say, "Your way is better than mine." As much as we know that it is, you're telling yourself that I'm going to have to sacrifice these things that I'm supposed to do to make me happy. And the Lord is telling you, you're going to be so much happier, you just don't realize it until you come and follow me.
Right. You know, and just like any young athlete, I was studying other athletes, and I was immersed in pop culture. And if you see any of what's put on in the press, especially now with social media, you see that image of manhood. You see that image of what a man is meant to be or supposed to be, and so confusing, while at the same time supposed to be embarrassed of that and ashamed of being a man. So it'll never get more confusing if you just continue to watch social media and everything that's being pushed out there.
Mm.
It's only the Catholic Church that will speak the truth of saying, "We want you to be more of a man than you are today."
Mm.
"And we're going to support you in your manhood, and we're going to make you a man because that's what you're created to be. And if you don't become a man, there won't be the image of God the Father in the world, and there won't be any complementarity to women." Right, and we're equals in dignity, but we're complementarity in our difference. Right.
Wow.
This is what the world needs to know. This is what we need to live. We don't need to be less of men. We need to be more of men, because that's what the world needs, and it's the truth that won't be told by anyone else if we don't say it.
Amen. Amen. Keeping in mind that you are the vocations director for the Catholic Diocese of Peoria, does it make it easier to talk to young men about considering the priesthood because you do have such a cool, "I was a student athlete, I was a professional athlete" story, and it's quite an icebreaker and more relatable in a sense?
Certainly it opens the door. Certainly those who care about those things, you know, like a lot of our youth who care about sports and who are interested in a really exciting story and want to know details about that type of life, it opens the door to better conversations and to deeper conversations, you know. I usually start talking about, you know, vocation and you know, God's will and a life of prayer, usually in a second or a third conversation, you know, because the first is just open the door of the heart and allowing me into their lives, which I'm so humbled to be allowed into so many people's lives. But certainly I have a lot to tell about what I've experienced, the good and the bad, that led me to be able to be free enough to accept God's will for my life.
But I bet you probably have some good advice for all of us that is a teaching moment right now, as far as you sort of are an in-demand guest for shows like mine, where people see this sexy story, priest who is a pro soccer player. So what has the Lord done in your life, Father Chase, to keep you humble so that you don't get caught up in, "I'm this quote-unquote celebrity priest"? Because I think, like I said, we all can learn something from that, because if you achieve success in business, if you achieve success in sports, if you achieve success in, the list goes on, there is this temptation to all of a sudden let the ego take over.
Absolutely. And that's something, I don't want to say anything too pious here, but, you know, that's something that we all have to deal with. And you're absolutely right. That is something that I have to check myself often. And certainly the most practical thing is going back to Jesus in my daily holy hour. I have to pray every single day. I have to come before the Lord every single day and say, Lord, you are God and I am not. You are creator and I am your creature. I have nothing except for what you have given me. Soccer was the way that I would have written my book, and priesthood is the way that you would write this book.
Mm.
You know, so whatever I have today and whatever reason that the people call me, can I tell you, I tell kids at schools all the time, do you know how many high schools I was invited to when I was a professional soccer player? Zero. Do you know how many high schools and grade schools that I've been invited to now that I'm a priest? As many as you can count. I can't even count how many places I've been able to speak. And so that in itself, like getting invited to your show and many others that I've been able to witness on, the invitation itself humbles me because I know that this wasn't my story. The story that I tell you today is the Lord's story. I just get to tell what he's done in my life and to witness to what he might be doing in yours. That's the humbling part. Now, some people think that being invited is would make one arrogant. No, it humbles me because I get to talk about him, you know, and I get to talk about all the ways that I went wrong and how he steered me back. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to even explain that, which I don't get to on a regular basis.
No, I love it. I'm getting goosebumps. That's terrific. That's terrific testimony. I think an argument can be made that in a lot of professions, someone could still be considered to be quote-unquote in sales, even if that's not their title. So as a vocation director, do you have a pitch, so to speak, or is it a case of, no, Bruce, my story is my quote-unquote pitch, and the rest is up to the Holy Spirit to call the young men that the Lord wants to be in our local parishes?
Well, my pitch is certainly the effects of testimony. I can't tell any other man that he should be a priest. I am not one that calls anybody to the priesthood because I don't know the heart. And in fact, unless you're called by Jesus to do what you are called to do, I don't believe that you're supposed to be a priest or consecrated or even married, right? I believe even married couples or engaged couples or dating couples should ask the Lord and to hear his voice, right? There's a lot of us throughout life that help to guide them to hear God's voice, and I see myself as that person. I was the guy that I was looking for, you know? I was the guy. I didn't know who to talk to. I wanted somebody to lead me and to guide me and to help me to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and to not do this because anybody else told me, pressured me to do it or not to do it, but to become this man because Jesus was inviting me to do this. That's what I had to be convinced of. And so that's what I want to help other young men today, especially who are wondering what the Lord has in store for their life, to hear the voice of God. And so my encouragement is that if we are not disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are not regularly praying and participating in the sacraments, if we're not doing all those things, perhaps we're not ready to hear the voice of God. So I need to encourage you right now to do those things and to not do it alone. There are many mentors in our life, many spiritual guides that aren't called necessarily spiritual directors or oftentimes don't have to be priests. But certainly there are those of us who are out there who are dying to help you to understand God's will for your life. And to hear his voice. And I just want you to know that that is possible. I think my entry point is to convince people that God does have a plan for your life. He's personally invested in you. That he does corporately love, all of humanity, but he loves you and he has a plan for you. That reality changed my life. When I found that out, I said, now I have to find out what it is, you know?
Outstanding.
And so please open your mind, your heart to the reality, not a dream, but the reality that God knows your heart, has a plan for you, and you can know what that is. You can know what that is, and if you open yourself to that, you will, and he'll certainly guide you. But let's find out what that is, because there's nothing else to life to find out except for that.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Final question, which I guess is sort of a two-part question. Do you still get out and play soccer casually at all, anywhere, anymore? And then also, have you been known to work soccer, if not other sports, into some homilies in your day, and if so, how are you tying them together?
Certainly, I still get out once in a while. It's certainly not my focus to be playing soccer, but we've done some Catholic soccer camps over the last couple of years, and I've been in intramural leagues here at the University of Illinois, where I was a chaplain for 4 years at the Catholic Newman Center, and now as a vocation director, I've been invited to into some adult leagues. So once in a while, I get out with guys, but certainly it's an opportunity for me to really just be human and to encounter people where I would never encounter them before, you know. So I meet a lot of fallen away Catholics on the soccer field, which is a great place to meet them.
Mm.
And Do I incorporate him into my homilies? Yes. We live in a sports culture, so it seems as if it's always relevant. I certainly try not to overdo it because there's people that we have to appeal to a wide audience.
Sure.
So I try not to do that all the time, but certainly with a younger crowd, I bring in sports a lot more, knowing that they're plugged in. But I think one of the main messages, if I could give a general message right now, one of the main messages I bring in is what John Paul II taught me when I read about his vision of sports. But he simply said that sports are the school of moral virtue. Sports is, and that changed my outlook on sports. That sports are these athletics are a school for us. You know, an athlete learns every single day different virtues, and they're practicing it whether they know it or not. And that's why we need coaches who are translators of those virtues to tell them how these are skills that translate into the Catholic life, into the Christian life, to be disciples of Jesus. How much does an athlete every single day sacrifice, learn teamwork, learn that there's something bigger than himself, know how to lose with class, know how to win with class, know how to get along with people around you who you don't agree with, you know? All of these things, these moral virtues that you learn on a daily basis, in sport that are also what make you a good Christian disciple. Those are things that we need to use sports and not use it as an end, as if it's the end all be all, but we truly need to use sports so that they can be for us a great tool for Christian discipleship.
Amen. Amen. Father Chase, it's been great having you on the show, and he's actually going to stick around, audience, because as you know, we close with a prayer every week. And if you've been listening long enough, you know that whenever I have on a member of the clergy, I certainly prefer to defer to that guest to lead us in that. So Father Chase has been kind enough to agree to do our closing prayer. So Father Chase, if you would.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the gift of our sonship. I thank you also for the gift of your Son, who taught us the way back to you. Father and Son, I thank you for the gift of the Spirit that burns in our hearts even now. Enliven us, enliven your church to live for your glory and for our sanctification. I ask your blessing upon all of Bruce's listeners and upon this show and its ministry, that it may conform hearts to yours and lead us all to the family in heaven. I ask your blessing, consecrating ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.